Thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities Podcast, brought to you by the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, Managing Editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's May 2024, and this is episode 390, which is a conversation about Eastern philosophy and its teaching on auras, chakras, and chi. Balancing one's energy is to be done through everything from yoga, feng shui for your home, to Chinese medicine, to acupuncture for humans and even pets. So we're going to be talking about the Eastern religious philosophy teaching of chi. On this episode, I'm joined by Lindsay Medenwalt, who is the Director of Ministry Operations at Mama Bear Apologetics and serves as a consulting editor for the Christian Research Journal. She has a master's in apologetics and ethics from Denver Seminary, a JD from St. Mary's School of Law, and a master's in public administration from Midwestern State University. Lindsay has written an online exclusive feature article about auras, chakras, and chi for the Christian Research Journal. Her article is called Enhancing Your Energy, the New Age Way, Understanding Auras, Chakras, and Chi. You can read it for free at our website, equip.org. That's EQUIP.org. Lindsay, it's good to have you on again.
Hi, it's so great to be here, Melanie.
Well, today we're doing a deep dive, as I mentioned, into the Eastern religion belief of auras, chakras, and chi. And, you know, a lot of Christians may not realize, but the whole idea of this energy that is going to be explained by Lindsay is really quite prominent in a lot of common practices that people are doing today, including people who do yoga, and it's in feng shui, if you're familiar with that. We have an article on that, by the way, from the Christian Research Journal about making sure the energy in your home is good. And then also even things like various different massage therapies that come from Eastern roots. So as we get started, this is a big topic, but I want our listeners to hang in there with us because a lot of Christians, as we will talk about later in the podcast, actually are doing some of these practices, and they probably think it's harmless because they don't believe in Eastern religion or they don't believe in chakras or chi. So please hang in there with this entire conversation. So first of all, just to kind of expound on that, why should Christians be interested in the subject matter and the idea of energy in the universe?
Yeah, Melanie, that is a fair question. And honestly, when I started research for this piece, I wasn't quite sure what I was going to find as far as Christians being interested or Christians participating in energy healing practices, or even if Christians cared about chakras and auras. But the thing is, Christians should be interested in the topic because it's something that our culture is dabbling in, even in the Christian community. So you'll find it. You mentioned yoga, and that isn't the main focus of this podcast, but yoga is being offered at churches. Yoga is being offered at schools. And so it's something that Christians really need to start thinking about when we're talking about this. That's one of the reasons we're talking about it. We should also have a basic understanding of what auras and chakras and chi are so that we can respond when those practices come up in our lives. Because the reality is Christians are interested in the topic. We found in a 2018 Pew Research poll that 37% of American Christian respondents said that they believe that spiritual energy can be found in physical things, including their own bodies. And this isn't just the normal energy that we live with every day, the calories that we take in and put out. It's the spiritual energies within and without our bodies. And so we need to know what to say when the topic comes up. I think that's mainly why we're talking about it.
Well, I just wanted to ask you a little bit more to go all the way back. Why don't you give us a history of energy that's found in Eastern religion, which means that it's kind of like a life force, something that's all around us, not just in the universe, but as part of everything. Where do these ideas come from? I think some Christians may have heard of that phrase, all is one. So kind of that idea from Eastern religion and Eastern philosophy. So can you explain a little bit more about
energy as a life force?
Yes, I think we think of it today as probably part of the New Age movement. If our listeners have been listening to any of our recent podcasts, in the last couple of years, we've talked quite a bit about the New Age movement and how it's and how it's still entering into our culture and how it's a thing even in our churches. But it does go back a long ways, and it is rooted in Eastern philosophy. So the concept of auras can be traced back all the way to ancient cultures found in Hinduism, Buddhism, and Taoism. And Buddhists even would, in their artistic portrayals of the Buddha, would indicate that his aura was this amazing thing around him. And sometimes when they described it, they would say that it stretched 3,500 kilometers, which is this amazing aura that basically encompasses everything. And so when you, really think about it, that is kind of incredible. The concept of chakras originated in India between 1500 and 500 BC. So again, we're talking a really long time ago. And it was actually, chakras were actually mentioned first in the Vedas, which is a collection of ancient Hindu texts that get into depth on yoga philosophy. So energy healing has been present in Hinduism, which is why we have yoga. And it's also been present in Buddhism. As far as in the West, Melanie, it was popularized really in the late 1800s, early 1900s by the Theosophists. So that's a mouthful of a word. But basically, those are people who belong to a new religious movement that was grounded in the occult. And they got their views mainly from Hinduism and Buddhism. And when we're talking about auras, the name that typically comes up is a guy named Charles Webster Ledbetter. And he was actually an Anglican priest at one point, but he became a spiritual mystic and believed that he had clairvoyant powers. And so he spent much of his time studying and adopting occultic beliefs and practices. And part of that study had to do with the energy around us and within us in our bodies as humans. And he decided that everything has an energy field. Everything in the physical world, anyway, has a energy field. And he became quite interested in this, and it picked up with other clairvoyants. So many of our listeners might recognize the name Edgar Cayce. Edgar Cayce is someone we've talked about before on this podcast. He believed in reincarnation and other New Age ideas, but he also believed he could heal people in his sleep. He bought into Charles Ledbetter's idea about auras as well. As far as chakras, Charles Ledbetter was also a big name that brought chakras and the ideas of chakras into the West. We also had a woman named Helena Blavatsky. She was a Theosophist as well, and she helped co-found the Theosophical Society and was an American mystic. We also find that she believed in reincarnation and karma. The other person involved with chakras was a guy from Britain. His name was John Woodruff, and he began subscribing to Hindu philosophies and beliefs, and he's what we refer to as an Orientalist. So he was a Western person who was very interested in Eastern philosophy. He wrote a lot about the Hindu scriptures, and he also subscribed to reincarnation. So I think what you might be hearing is that if you believe in chakras and auras, it is also likely that you will have other New Age and Eastern philosophical beliefs like reincarnation and karma, which, of course, we know go into the New Age movement. And so those things are, they really go hand in hand, Melanie, and it's really important for Christians to understand that.
We hope you've been enjoying the new setup of the Christian Research Journal because it's completely without a subscription, totally free online, no paywall at all at our website, equip.org. But we would like you to consider partnering with us to continue to bring you all these free articles, a new one every single week, and also the podcast. So if you'd like to partner with us, the best way to do that is to head on over to our website, equip.org. If you click on Journal, then click on Postmodern Realities Podcast. At any one of the landing pages for the podcast, you will find a link where you can partner with us by giving us a tip. So if you could please consider giving us something like $3, $5, $10, that helps us to bring you this great content, which is completely free, a new article every week, and a corresponding podcast discussion. In addition, you don't want to miss out on subscribing to our new podcast called Christian Research Journal Reads. We take some of the most popular articles that we've done, the ones that are most frequently accessed on our website, and give you an audio version for those. They would be great for your commute or as you work out to listen to the full audio articles. And we would invite you to subscribe to that podcast wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Now back to my conversation with Lindsay Medenwalt on auras, chakras, and chi. We are just kind of giving us an overview of some of these Eastern views that made it into the West through various different people who were mystics. And so I want to break down some of the actual energy terms. So can you describe what an aura is that they claim an aura is?
Yes. But Melanie, I want to preface this by saying if somebody just stepped into the podcast, we are not saying that anyone should hold these beliefs. We are simply giving definitions about what they mean to those who do hold the beliefs. I'm not saying that they actually exist by giving them a definition. I'm simply letting people know how they are perceived, how auras and chakras are perceived. We must define them in order to understand them. And again, I'm not saying that they exist. I'm just giving definitions about how people perceive them.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing to clarify for our listeners, because as we go through this conversation, we're just trying to explain to you some of these particular terms that are rooted in Eastern religion. And then we'll talk about later on, is Eastern religion in any way compatible to Christianity? Does Christianity teach any of these concepts? So before we can get to that part of the conversation, we really want to have you understand what these terms are, because it's so popular in culture. And as a matter of fact, Lindsay points out in her article that a lot of pop culture, television shows, movies use these terms or these practices as kind of something that's integral into parts of the actual film or television series. I'm thinking particularly of Doctor Strange. Now, I didn't see Doctor Strange Part 2, but we did do an actual podcast and article on Doctor Strange Part 1. Now, we just talked about the movie. We didn't really talk about any of the New Age concepts that were in there, but it was full of all of the ideas of chi and chakras and auras.
Yes. And the second Doctor Strange film was definitely full of that as well. And indeed, Doctor Strange discovers his third eye in the second film, which we'll discover in this podcast, has to do with auras and chakras.
And I think that's important because parents probably thinking, oh, my kid loves Marvel heroes. Let's all go see Doctor Strange and not understand. And then, of course, now you have introduced the idea of auras and chakras to your kids. So this is a podcast that's going to be able to equip you, because now they're probably wondering, well, what is this? So why don't you give us a definition or explain to us in Eastern philosophy what an aura is?
Right. So I think the best way to think about an aura is an oval of color or light that surrounds your body or anything in nature. So trees have auras, rocks have auras, anything physical has some sort of aura emanating from it. Each layer of the aura correlates with a different element, in humans at least, of their physical and mental and spiritual and even emotional health. Most people who believe in auras believe that we have seven layers of auras. And within those seven layers are the corresponding chakras, which we'll talk about in a minute. But everyone's aura is unique, kind of like our fingerprints. Nobody's aura is the same. And so it just depends on what a particular person's condition is, how healthy they are or how unhealthy they are spiritually or physically or emotionally. They're often displayed, Melanie, in these really bright colors, and every color has a meaning. So for instance, one of the colors is indigo, and that could mean that the person is very spiritually connected. Yellow could indicate, for example, that the person is very relaxed. So if their aura is emanating yellow, then they're probably in a relaxed state. But it's important to know also what the different layers are. So I'm going to run through the list of layers and kind of give where they are and what they mean, so that when you're looking at an illustration of an aura, you'll understand what it is you're looking at. The first one, and we're going to start with the outermost layer. It's the furthest away from your body. That's the causal layer. And that is basically, I just think of it as the protective one. It kind of keeps everything encompassed within your body. The second one is the celestial. That one has to do with, as the name might indicate, spiritual things. But this one also has to do with spiritual ecstasy. There's an etheric blueprint, which comes third. And that is basically the body's map of energy. So if you look at the third auric layer, you're supposed to be able to tell how the rest of the body exists energetically. The fourth one is the astral body, and that one controls a person's dreams and their psychic energy, which, as we'll again note, that people who typically believe in auras and chakras also believe in psychic powers and other things, clairvoyance, for example. If we look at the fifth layer, that's your mental layer, and it's responsible for spiritual discernment. But I want to clarify that that's not spiritual discernment as it's related to Christianity. It's not the same thing, which is another reason why it's important to define terms. Because sometimes we'll hear the same language used to describe occultic or pagan or non-Christian things. And we might assume that they mean what we mean as Christians. But in this instance, definitely, it does not mean what we mean when we're talking about spiritual discernment. It's more so talking about things like clairvoyance. The sixth layer is the emotional body. That's where your feelings are. That's where your feelings live. And then finally, the layer that is closest to your body, this is your etheric double. So we already talked about the etheric blueprint. Now we have the etheric double. And Melanie, that one gives you your vitality and your life. And so when people see auras or claim to see auras, that's actually the layer that they claim to see, is that etheric double. So if I would summarize exactly what an aura is, I would say that it's a reflection of how a person is doing energy-wise from head to toe and from heart to brain. And some people do claim to be able to see auras if they've entered something like a meditative state or a trance-like state, or they simply walk around and say, oh, I see your aura and it's this color, you must feel this way, which leads to a question. Do you have to be gifted to see auras? No, not really. Some people might recognize the name Teal Swan. I know you will, Melanie. She was one of the first people I covered for the Christian Research Journal, and I actually follow her pretty regularly. I like to tap into what she's doing and how she's doing. And I watched a video featuring Teal Swan recently about how people can begin to perceive auras. And she said people can be trained to do so. They just have to be able to separate themselves from the physical world, which of course is attained through things like meditation and trance-like states. She also says that auras, even though they're indicated in illustrations like color, it's not always something that we see. Auras can also be felt. And she said that different people's auras can be different textures, can feel differently. And she said auras are a great way for people to begin to get to know others. And one way you can spot an aura is to pay attention to the person's third eye, which we've already talked about, but we're going to talk about more in a minute. But if you can focus on a person's third eye, you can probably also see their aura.
I want to tell our listeners, if you're new to the podcast, that Lindsay and I talked about Teal Swan 4 years ago, back in 2020, and that was episode 166, and we're almost up to 400 episodes. So if you want to search that, you will find that we talked about her on episode 166. Well, in the same category of the things that we're talking about today, in addition to auras, there are, it's interesting because it's like all of these things relate to energy, but yet there's nuances with the different terms. So why don't you explain to us what chakras are?
I think people will recognize an illustration of chakras if they were to see a person, a drawn person, because remember, we can't actually physically see chakras. So typically these are drawings. And if you can imagine a person sitting Indian style, cross-legged, and they're straight backed, and then they have marks going along their body. Those marks are typically indications of chakras. So that's what we're talking about if people want to get sort of a visual reference of what we're saying. So our bodies, as I've already mentioned, are encompassed with energy. The outer energy is our aura. The inner energy is our chakra. So there are inner energy points that comprise the different chakras. Chakra is a word that comes from Sanskrit, and it means wheel. And each chakra can be found along the human spine from the head to the tailbone. And they're all connected to various organs, and the chakra's health determines how healthy the person is. So if your chakras aren't healthy, you aren't healthy either. And this can play out either in your physical health or your mental health or even your spiritual health. Just like there are seven auric layers, most people in the West believe that there are seven chakras as well. But I will say that there are some people who believe we have many, many more chakras than seven. But for the purposes of this podcast and the article, we're focusing on the seven because that's what most people think about when they think about their chakras. And I'm going to run quickly through the list again because I think it's important that people are able to understand what exactly we're talking about when I say chakra. If you want to start at the base of the spine, that's where the first chakra is. That's called your root chakra, and that is responsible for your survival. When you move up the spine, you get to the sacral chakra, and that has to do with your creativity and your sexuality. Moving up closer to the stomach, you find the solar plexus chakra, and that's responsible for your willpower and your identity and who you are. Your heart chakra is next. That's obviously in your chest. And that has to do with how humble you are. If your heart chakra is healthy, you probably have a good dose of humility in your life. And you are able to connect well with other people. Your throat chakra, which is obviously near the throat, is responsible for your communication, which sort of makes sense when you think about it. Your third eye, which we've already mentioned, is between your eyebrows. That one is responsible for wisdom and intuition. And finally, we get to the very last chakra at the top of your head, and that one is responsible for our connection with higher consciousness, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but that is really the goal of higher consciousness for those who practice Eastern philosophies and New Age movement. But our listeners might recognize a few of those, Melanie, especially the third eye one, not just from this podcast, but like you said, from cultural references. And we've already mentioned Dr. Strange and how he gets his third eye, but that's supposed to signal to the viewer or the reader within the comic books that he's reached this peak level of wisdom and intuition. And it actually gives him more powers. He's now able to see his enemy's true intentions. He can break magical illusions that are created by his enemies, and he can actually see into the souls of other people, which could be very useful in the Marvel universe, as we've seen. So the third eye essentially means that Dr. Strange has reached this higher level of consciousness. And that's really important when we're talking about what exactly chakras are.
So I want to know, after you've explained auras and chakras, is there any way that auras and chakras work together? Are they ever combined in any way?
The short answer is yes. They are intertwined and really can't be separated. If you're thinking about taking our whole bodies as one piece, obviously our outer bodies are connected to our inner bodies. And if one is unhealthy, the other is likely struggling as well. So remember, auras are the energy outside our body, and chakras are the ones that are found within. If one is off, the other is impacted. So the color of your aura may actually help somebody, like an energy healer, figure out what's actually wrong with you in your chakras. And that helps them align your chakras so that you can improve the health of your auras, but also your overall health. New Age teachers say that you can help various chakras by simply focusing on their auras, which again, you can typically see by focusing on their third eye. So yes, I would say that auras and chakras typically come together as a pair. And if you were to separate one from the other, it would be really difficult for energy healers to figure out just what would be wrong with the person.
So now I want to ask you about Qi, which is spelled as QI, or you will also see it as CHI. It's a Chinese word, and that's probably the most familiar term our listeners have heard, maybe more than auras and chakras. But what is Qi?
Yes, Qi, which I will admit that I mispronounced when I first read it, because it wasn't just a natural QI, is not typically a word we find in English. And I pronounced it Qi, but it's not Qi, it's Qi. The word Qigong is from the Chinese words Qi and Gong. Qi refers to vital energy. Again, we're with the energy. And Gong means work. So together, Qigong is what we do to promote balance in our lives as far as our energy goes. When I wrote about the Falun Gong a while back for the Christian Research Journal, we actually talked about Qigong because it is a widely recognized piece of medicine in China. And it's used as a health practice there. But we talked about it with the Falun Gong because the Falun Gong has changed it from its original practices so much that they've distorted what it actually is. So Qigong is heavily, heavily regulated now in China and has been since the late 1990s. And when you hear Qigong, one of the things you need to determine is, are we talking about the original or are we talking about an offshoot that has been created by a group like the Falun Gong? But the original Qigong is founded in Eastern philosophy. Obviously, it came from China, and it's related to the New Age as well, as most Eastern philosophies usually make their way into the New Age. Qigong helps heal and balance the body's auras and chakras. So that's how the chakras and auras get healed, is through the practice of Qigong. If you heal your energy, if you heal your auras and your chakras, you can then raise your vibrations, which are those things emanating from your energy. And if you can raise your vibrations, you can reach your higher consciousness, which is really the ultimate goal in the New Age movement and many Eastern philosophies. And ultimately, you become like God, or you become a God yourself. It's that all is God, all is one concept. One way that Qigong is practiced is through Tai Chi, which is rooted in Taoism. In Taoism, there is no supreme God or creator, but all originated from the Tao, which is this impersonal principle or source of creation. But Taoism teaches that strengthening and reinforcing your inner Qi will bring good health and long life, as well as the spiritual benefits that come from it. And how do we do that? We do that through certain breathing techniques. We do that through meditation, different bodily movements that can be taught to improve your life's energies. That's the basis, really, of Tai Chi. We see it in other martial arts forms as well, Melanie, including Kung Fu. But in contrast with Tai Chi, Kung Fu has many different forms, and some of those don't involve their Eastern philosophical roots. So it can be separated a little bit more. There are many, for example, there are many Kung Fu schools that practice only the physical aspects of the martial art rather than the spiritual side. So I want to clarify that while Kung Fu can separate those spiritual aspects, Tai Chi does not, and it cannot be separated from its philosophy of attuning our energy with the universe's energy, because that's literally what its intention is to help us heal our energy so that we can connect with the higher consciousness and be higher consciousness ourselves.
Now, you heard Lindsay just talk about vibrations and raising your vibrations, which we have done in our discussions on this podcast before. We've talked about vibrations when it comes to ancient aliens and some of the New Age teachers that are associated there. But just to give everyone an idea of just how popular this entire worldview is as I was looking and preparing for this podcast, I came across a recent video on YouTube. So it was only released 4 months ago. So it was released in 2024. And already it has more than 1 million views. And the title of it is, "Once you raise your vibration, magic happens." And so the subtitle is, "Everything is energy. And once you learn to vibrate correctly, reality is yours." So it is very big. A lot of people are really interested in this topic, and that's why we're discussing it. So, you know, you talked about Qi helping people, according to Eastern philosophy, keep their auras and chakras clear. And so why do we want to clear auras and chakras? I mean, just the title of the video that I just mentioned to everyone is, it's really important to, you know, adjust your energy, because once you do that, you can manifest anything. And as we have also talked about on this podcast, we actually have a full podcast on manifesting. So why is it important in an Eastern worldview that you want to clear auras and chakras?
Yeah, it's amazing when you look at all of the research that we've done over the last several years, Melanie, and how interconnected everything is, and how the same names keep coming up, how the same ideas keep coming up. It's not going away. I've heard the argument that the New Age movement is old and that it's irrelevant to us. But I think we've discovered in just recent years that it's not actually gone, and it's making a resurgence. And we need to take it seriously, because the world is taking it seriously. And even other Christians are taking it seriously and incorporating these things into their own lives. When you and Anne talked about manifesting, I was like, oh, that's definitely something that Christians even talk about in their own spirituality. And if you name it, you claim it. And let's do that. I think when we're talking about auras and chakras and chi, we need to remember that the intention is that we are living our healthiest lives, whether that is physically or spiritually. And so whenever I hear of somebody clearing their auras and chakras, I think of the Friends character Phoebe Buffay. And she was sort of this new age character that got a lot of laughs because of her kind of quirkiness. But when you look at some of the things she believed, while the audience was laughing, she truly, truly took those beliefs as a character to heart. There's one episode, I actually think it's the very first episode in the entire series, where Phoebe is trying to clear the aura of Ross. Ross is having a really bad time. He's about to get a divorce. And he enters the coffee shop and sits down on the couch next to Phoebe Buffay. And Phoebe starts picking at the air around him and continues to like look around and pick at the world around him. And you're thinking, if you don't know what's happening, and obviously in the first episode, we don't know much about Phoebe at all. It's kind of weird. And then Ross says something like, "Stop trying to clear my aura." And she says, "Well, if you want to be in a murky aura, that's up to you." And later on, we hear her talking about healing the chakras of some of her massage clients. And this wasn't just something that they talked about in the first episode, but this was all truly part of Phoebe's character for the entire time that the Friends series ran. So it became this just normal thing to talk about auras and chakras on this extremely popular show. But I don't think most people who were watching the show gave it a second thought unless they believed in those energy fields. And so I think what we need to think about is when Phoebe is clearing the aura, she truly thinks that she's healing Ross from his pain. He's enduring a lot of emotional pain, and she truly thinks that she is helping him do that. There are many factors that can cause your chakras and auras to be blocked, which include stress. As we know, many Westerners have a healthy amount of or unhealthy amount of stress in their lives, and that can block your chakras and impede them from doing what they're supposed to be doing. Unhealthy lifestyles, we're just eating too much bad food. We're going, you know, we're going out to fast food restaurants and we're eating things that don't actually nurture our bodies. And tiredness, we're not getting enough sleep. All of those things contribute to murky auras and misaligned chakras. And so if our energy is out of whack, the rest of our lives are impacted. So like I said earlier, ultimately, if we don't have healthy energy, we're never going to be able to raise our consciousness, which is what people who practice Eastern philosophies and the New Age movement really want to do. They want us to raise our consciousness so that we can become gods.
And that is very interesting because, you know, as we've talked about that, what is the point of energy being out of whack? And not just that we could become gods and manifest anything that we want, which is part of it, but also you can bring bad luck or bad energy on yourself. So you don't want, or if something is, they talk about areas like in New Age medicine, they'll talk about areas in your body that are hot and you need to cool them down because if the energy is hot, then there's something wrong with you. You might have too much anger or too much something that's negative in you. So that's why the Eastern philosophy, why they communicate that humans need to balance their chi and, you know, have everything going well so that they could prevent bad luck and also prevent, you know, negative things about themselves.
Right. That's the idea of karma as well. If we want to connect all the dots, that's really where the karmic wheel comes into play and in trying to get off the karmic wheel and reach that higher level of consciousness.
And by the way, I also want to say that this is not just for humans, but also animals, because there are a lot of vet practices. I own a couple of dogs, including my vet practice, that have gotten into New Age medicine for pets. If traditional medicine is not working, then they are suggesting that the energy of your pet needs to be balanced through New Age medicine herbs and or even things like acupuncture. So sometimes pet owners will resort to this because traditional medicine has not helped their pet and they feel like that if they go onto the Chinese herbs and also, you know, acupuncture, it could help. As a matter of fact, there was an issue with my dogs and my vet was showing me, trying to tell me about, you know, bad energy for my dogs. And she literally got out this huge, giant tome of Chinese medicine for veterinarians and showed me these diagrams of dogs and the energy and how you had to cool the energy and so forth. So I do want to say it's even made it into veterinary practice in the United States.
Wow, Melanie.
Yes. So again, this is of interest because maybe there are pet owners who are at their wits' end and they'll be like, well, I'll try anything. So, you know, sure, I'll do this. So just so you know, that that is being promoted by veterinarians who are classically trained in veterinarian medicine, but they're also dabbling into new age, or rather Chinese medicine for pets to balance qi. So, you know, thinking about all that, thinking about ourselves and human beings and even animals, because in this worldview, they think that energy is everywhere. You mentioned it's in trees and plants and rocks. So therefore, of course, in their worldview, that it would be in pets or animals of all kinds. And so is there any evidence for the existence of these energy forces around our bodies or even inside our bodies, that we need to somehow balance these energy forces?
No, we can't just end with that answer. But the very quick answer is no, especially when we're talking about auras and chakras. Of course, we are all made up of energy. Everything around us is made up of energy. That's how we live and breathe the world around us, but not in a sense of Eastern philosophies and the New Age and not how they describe it. Again, definitions are really, really important. But what we really need to know is if the claims that people can see auras are true, because there are people who say, I see auras. And we have to know, do they actually see them? Is this something that you can see? Scientists have done experiments over the years that have tested people, clairvoyants and psychics, who have claimed to be able to see auras. And what the results have shown is that it would be the same, Melanie, if you and I stood next to a psychic and guessed, their results would be the same as our results. It's just the same as chance. And so I want to give you an example because I stumbled across several examples. And one video in particular is a video clip where a skeptic, someone who consistently challenges paranormal beliefs, named James Randi, was asking a person, a guy who claimed to be able to see auras, he asked him to do this on video. And they put five or six people behind a screen. And the idea was that he would see the person and be able to say, oh, you were in this position. You were in position number three. And they would have been in that position. At the end of it, it determined that, again, his results were no better than the results of some person coming up out of the audience and saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to put the people in these different positions. The guy he was interviewing only got two correct, which is consistent with somebody just guessing. There are numerous examples of that on the internet. So then you've got some neurologists who have chimed in about this concept of chakras and of auras and said that actually it could have something to do with migraines or epilepsy or even drug use. I will say that I get migraines from time to time. And when those migraines are coming on, I do see fields of color and different shapes come out into the nature. And then I just kind of close my eyes and go into a very dark room because it's disconcerting to see those things. But I would never go a step further and say I'm seeing people's auras because, again, the auras don't really exist. We're just seeing spots of color and different shapes, but it's connected to my headache. I don't have a special gift and I haven't trained to see anything around, any energy around trees or people. Tests have been done too, Melanie. I found this interesting. They try to take pictures of auras and put them on film, but nothing has ever really come of those tests. Nothing ever shows up in the film. And when we're talking about chakras, the difficulty, and I will admit this, is that the chakras do align with particular parts of our bodies. So they go along the spine, they're connected to the nervous system, but there's no evidence that chakras, there's no scientific evidence that chakras themselves exist. Therapies have been done to balance auras and chakras, but there's no evidence that those even work. The thing is, those healing practices often involve resting or getting into a calm state like meditation. And when we calm our bodies down or take a nap, we're healing our bodies. And so science says that you take a nap, you're probably going to feel better when you wake up. And that's why we rest when we get physically ill. But there's no scientific evidence that that has anything to do with something called chakras within our bodies.
I want to circle back to kind of getting into why we even were talking about this on the podcast, because we have covered so many of these topics over the last 4 years together. And I'm sure Christians are wondering, well, what does this have to do with me? And or it seems harmless. Like, I don't believe in energy. I don't believe that my body is energy, that I have to adjust any kind of energy at all. And I reject an Eastern philosophy worldview, but there's no harm. Like, I love yoga. I like to do it for, you know, it's great. It's gotten me into good shape. And I don't believe in Hinduism. So I absolutely reject it as a Christian. But I think you are pouring some meaning into it. And it doesn't have any power over me because I don't believe in that. And or, you know, my dog, cat, I'm at my wit's end. I don't see any harm in trying to align their energy through a bunch of Chinese herbs. It doesn't make any difference to me. So I want to ask you specifically, should Christians believe in energy forces like auras and chakras? And what about saying, well, I don't know that I would hold to energy or chakras or auras, but it seems harmless to me.
You actually hear that argument a lot if you're talking to Christians who claim that they believe in these things. They will say, I've separated it from its Eastern philosophical roots, or I don't believe in the New Age, so it's okay. But the thing is, Christians shouldn't waste their time believing things that don't exist. But the reality is that when you're participating in these practices, you're actually participating in the occult. And that's problematic at the very least. We should take that quite seriously. There are Christians who will say that they can maintain their energy health, and they'll use the Bible to support it by saying that energy was created by God because God created everything, or that chakras and auras aren't mentioned in the Bible, and things like electricity aren't mentioned either. And so we should be able to believe in those things, even though they're not talked about in scripture. But the problem is that we see them twisting scripture to make it fit, to make anything of this world scriptural and okay and biblical. We need to address that. Yes, God is the creator of all things, but the Bible also tells us to test the spirits, and it warns us against false teachers and teachers who profess occultic things. So we need to guard ourselves against these false spirits and teachers. There are many false teachers in the world, and we have to be careful about who we follow. Just because somebody says they're Christian doesn't necessarily mean that what they teach is biblical. And we need to make sure that we're adhering to what is biblical. And frankly, the roots of auras and chakras and Qigong are not Christian. They're not of God. They're not biblical. They were born out of Eastern philosophies, the New Age, and the occult. And as Christians, we cannot be led astray, Melanie. We're falling for it. Christians are falling for it. And as Paul told the people of Corinth, we have to be set apart. And sometimes that requires us to take a stand against things that the world is falling for. The other thing that we need to remember, and this is important, is that often these beliefs go hand in hand with other beliefs like reincarnation and karma. In my article, I mention a piece that was written by the former editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, Elliot Miller. And in 1992, he wrote this piece about energetic healing, which is excellent, and we're going to link to it. But he evaluates whether Christians can truly participate in these kinds of activities and separate them from their occultic origins. And he basically says no. He says that it's a dangerous game to play because participating in one occultic activity can easily lead to the practice of another occultic activity. And the evidence seems to be saying that is true, because according to recent polls, and we like to look at polls when we're talking about these things because it indicates the heartbeat of our society and what's happening and how people are actually believing. And there was a recent Pew Research poll that found that 30% of respondents who self-identified as Christians believed in reincarnation, and 29% of them believed in astrology, reading the stars and finding out the future, or that your body is connected to the stars in some way. And there was a 2021 poll, so this is fairly recent, from the American Worldview Inventory that found that about a third of surveyed Christians believe that karma is real. And we have to admit then that these beliefs are permeating Christianity, and it shouldn't be surprising that then there are Christians who believe in auras and chakras and energy healing, because these New Age spiritual beliefs are going together. But we need to really give out a warning, Melanie, that these New Age spiritual beliefs are not compatible with the biblical worldview, because they go against what scripture tells us. Again, in his brilliant piece that I hope people will read, Elliot Miller, he tells Christians to proceed with caution concerning phenomena that has a strong connection with occultism and paganism. I'm going to take that a step further, and I'm going to say, yes, we should be wary and cautious, but I think we should avoid it altogether.
That's a good warning. I think it's sometimes hard to grapple with that, especially if, you know, someone is really committed to some of these practices, even if they're trying to separate Hinduism or Taoism or any Eastern philosophy from these views. So another question that we always get, as a matter of fact, it's interesting. We did a cover article on our print magazine years ago, almost 30 years ago, about Christians practicing the martial arts, but we haven't really updated it. So it is still being accessed. We have many thousands upon thousands, I want to say tens of thousands, at least 10,000 articles from the Christian Research Journal on our website. And this article, Should Christians Practice the Martial Arts, is still in our top 100 articles out of that many articles. So it's a big deal. People want to know, particularly, I think, because so many kids practice martial arts, they sign up for karate, etc. So can you talk to us about Tai Chi and Kung Fu? Because I know that a lot of, for example, in China, a lot of senior citizens, elderly people practice Tai Chi. It's very calming for people, and it's not, you know, really got a lot of cardio in it. And so is it okay for Christians to participate in these activities? People might have seen like some groups practicing Tai Chi, for example, in the park. It's a very almost meditative and calming, a lot of stretching kind of practice.
Right. So this is obviously going to be a personal choice. People are going to have to decide for themselves if they're going to participate in martial arts and what kind of martial arts they're going to participate in. But yeah, kids are doing it everywhere. And I have actually found myself sort of entranced by watching people participate in Tai Chi activities in the park. Every once in a while, if you're in a major city and you're walking around, you will stumble upon that. And it is entrancing to watch a large group of people move together, almost kind of like waves in the ocean. And they're all doing the same thing together. But I would encourage Christians to use discernment when they enter into any new activity or practice, whether it's martial arts or anything really, because some Christians will take a very hardline approach and they will wipe away anything that has any connection with Eastern worldviews or New Age philosophies. Because we can't deny that these practices have their origin in the occult or Eastern philosophy. But there is a difference, and I mentioned this earlier, between Tai Chi and Kung Fu. Hank Hanegraaff talked about this, and he said Tai Chi can't be separated from its Eastern philosophical roots because it is about connecting with the energies of the universe. That's the whole point. It's the universal force, and we as humans are trying to connect to that through the different moves of Tai Chi. But not all martial arts schools are teaching with a connection to these philosophies. So when you're going to learn Kung Fu or Taekwondo even, you're going for health purposes or how to learn how to defend yourself physically. I would recommend then that Christians engage in prayer for discernment about which martial arts practices they should participate in. And then they have to evaluate the particular school and instructors that they want to join. And you can usually attend like a free class. I would encourage parents to go with their kids and listen to what the instructors are saying. Listen to how, watch how the classes are participating and what they're learning and what kind of terminology is being said. Are they talking about aligning their chakras? Are they talking about clearing their auras? Does it look like they're using yoga as part of their martial arts practice? These are things that you can look for and watch out for. And I would encourage you to then use spiritual discernment and ask the Lord to give you guidance as far as if you should join a particular school and if you should learn from them. But I would say people need to keep in mind that different martial arts are different things, but Tai Chi is its own and cannot be separated from the occult.
So finally, how should Christians respond to folks, including other Christians, when talking about auras, chakras, or any of these other Eastern religious and New Age philosophies? Because I find that it can be very fraught to talk to other Christians, particularly who are very committed to, for example, Chinese medicine or yoga or Tai Chi or some of those kinds of things, as they particularly practice it themselves. And so how should we, you know, proceed with wisdom and discernment, but also, you know, knowing what this really is, how do we help educate other people so that they realize, well, when you're doing yoga, you're actually doing a Hindu practice. You are participating in that. And not just that Christians say that, but Hindus themselves say that, that they have been, in, as a matter of fact, Elliot Miller has written a 3-part series on yoga. It's more than 20,000 words, and he talks about if Christians can practice yoga, but he quotes many actual Hindus who say that, you know, this is a Hindu practice. It cannot be separated. People need to realize in the West that when they practice yoga, they are participating in Hinduism.
Right. And we need to take their claims seriously, right? We need to take them at their word. If they themselves are saying this is our practice and you can't accommodate it for your own beliefs, then we should take that seriously. As far as engaging with people on this topic, I'll start where I always do and say with gentleness. We need to recognize that there are many people who engage in these kinds of activities who may not even know where they came from. Because the West loves to take things and make it our own, we tend to forget to say where we found the ideas. And we need to be sort of like investigative journalists when we enter new practices or participate in new things or start listening to new teachers. We need to be able to look and see, well, where do those things come from? Because Christians may not understand the point of Tai Chi or yoga, or that the third eye, when you see it in Doctor Strange, is actually a chakra. I don't even know that they mention the word chakra in that film. And you're not connecting those dots because you just don't know. As with all things, we should engage with kindness, but we cannot compromise the truth on this. We should never compromise the truth. If the topic comes up, we should share what we know. And now, if you've listened to this entire podcast, you know a lot. And you can read the article to kind of remind yourself. But we should share what we know and then ask questions about what it is they believe about auras and chakras and why they participate in Tai Chi. Because we can't assume that they know that there's a spiritual side of it or a spiritual component to all of these things. And we can't assume that they know everything that we've talked about today. We should encourage people to do their own research. You could share this podcast with them. You could share a lot of Elliot Miller's work. He did so much in this field that is so helpful. But ultimately, we are called to bring light to the darkness. And one way we can do this is to speak truth, even if it feels uncomfortable to do so. The people in Ephesus had this problem, and Paul wrote to them and said, "Don't participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them." So we have to be truth tellers. We have to expose the darkness and be a city on a hill. We need to be the light and remind people of this great hope that we have within us, and his name is Jesus Christ, and be willing to not compromise truth so that we can get along.
Well, thank you for that food for thought. And so now, on a much lighter note than chakras, auras, and chi, this month on May 8th in the United States, it's National Give Someone a Cupcake Day. So what is your favorite kind of cupcake?
Melanie, I love all cupcakes. That is the harder question, I think, that you've asked me all day. I am on a Oreo kick. And so anything with like cookies and cream, I think, would probably win the day for me today.
That sounds like a very delicious cupcake. Well, thank you once again, Lindsay, for being on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thanks, Melanie.
You've been listening to episode 390 of the Postmodern Realities podcast. Today's guest was Lindsay Medenwalt, and she has written an exclusive online feature article called "Enhancing Your Energy the New Age Way: Understanding Auras, Chakras, and Chi." You can read her article for free at our website, equip.org. You won't want to miss out on subscribing to the other podcasts from the Christian Research Institute. We have the Bible Answer Man podcast, which is published Monday through Friday with the best of the week on Saturday. It's hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff and is available wherever you get your favorite podcasts. In addition, Hank has a podcast called Hank Unplugged. Hank takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, essential Christian conversations on critical issues with some of the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people on the planet. And you won't want to miss out on the brand new podcast from the Christian Research Journal. Christian Research Journal Reads presents audio versions of Christian Research Journal articles. It was a print incarnation of almost 45 years. It's now on the web, as you know, with new articles every single week. So you won't want to miss these audio articles of some of our most popular and most accessed articles on our website, equip.org.